Today I speak with Luna from the Netherlands. She's 18 years old. Hi Luna, thank you for joining this podcast. Can you introduce yourself?
Hello everyone, my name is Luna. I'm 18 years old, I'm from the Netherlands. I'm currently studying Manager Transports and Logistics on the Dutch MBO and doing my internship at DAO, where I'm a Logistics Service Coordinator. Further in my case, I have a vision, REST vision of 9%, and I have everything which contains being an albino. So yeah, I don't really have much to say about it more. My hobbies, I play piano a lot, I play in a band, and I am really much into sports. I am playing goalball, and I'm going to fitness, to start fitness soon.
Okay, so you said you are playing goalball. What is goalball exactly?
Goalball is a sport for the blind and visually impaired. A field game where you are in a gym. And you have two teams of three players who are equally to each other. They both, everyone is wearing those blackout goggles. Everyone sees really nothing. And you play with a ball which contains a bell in it. The goal of the team sport is to make as much goals as you can. So it's just like you can really compare it to handball or football, but then low to the ground and with blackout goggles on and with a ball who contains a bell.
So you said you play piano, but how can you read what you should play?
I don't read sheets or notes. I learned to play piano myself by hearing a lot of things, and just the chords are also really easy because A minor, G minor, A, C, those are really easy chords to play, and the main chords you play are like the most songs we play with it. And I practice really frequently. In our band, we make the music ourselves. So we really always sit together like, okay, what are we going to play and what chords does it contain? And then we mix match something and we just try something out. And then it usually fits really nice with the guitars and the drum. So
you are playing in a band?
Yes.
Ah, okay. Do you like school? You said you are a vocational student. You're on the MBO. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
So how do you, being a person with albinism in that type of world?
I don't feel like it's surviving because I have never been on like special education, special school for the blind or visually impaired. I have never been to that. The school adapt to me. They do everything they can to make my school life easier. And also providing beforehand the tests on a USB stick or per email really helps a lot, reducing stress and stuff. But everything I do is basically on my laptop. Sometimes I do stuff on paper, but everything I do is on my laptop because that's much easier and it's just a lot better. So for the rest, usually I did go to school by public transport, but because I moved to a small village, it was not possible anymore to go with public transport myself because I had to ride my bike 15 minutes through complete darkness to some near bus station. And I really was scared for that, and I have never done it. So after all, I decided to see if a taxi is available for me, which is, so that's really nice. So I will go to school and my internship by taxi, which is a really bummer for me, I think. That's the only bummer I think I have, because I don't really know how to explain, but it is, it takes something of my confidence and stuff I can do myself away.
You feel less independent.
Yes, I feel less independent indeed. And also when I was looking for an internship, last year I had to do an internship of half a year. It was really hard because I got rejected 7 times in my in my area, and just only on the disability I have, and they don't really trust me or they don't want to help me out with my disability. I placed a message on Facebook and then it got shared a lot. And then someone at a really big, famous a company came into contact with me, and she said that she really wanted to have me as an intern. So I was really happy for that. But yeah.
But you have to be rejected 7 times. It's actually pretty sad.
Yes. But yeah, it was a really hard time because I really wanted not to ask for help on that. But when I placed the message on Facebook, it got shared like 200 to 300 times. And I was like, whoa, this is insane. And there was a really high boss of the company who contacted me, and she was so kind. And it's a company who can afford like extra stuff in the bigger monitors to work with.
But do you think it's a form of discrimination by being rejected 7 times?
Oh yes, absolutely. Because I had like a talk with one of the companies, and I went there, I visited them, I went to the building of the company, and I had a really good talk, and they were like, yeah, we will see. And then I got the day after I went to school, and I got an email with like almost them screwing at me because I am visually impaired and I can't do anything. And I was like, I was really sad, and school sent me home because I couldn't handle it anymore. And yeah, it is really a form of discrimination, I think, because if you look at me now, what I'm capable of doing in the company where I am doing my internship, it is insane.
You are saying, yeah, I'm capable, I'm capable, actually all the times. Do you want to say that to me or actually to yourself, like saying, yes, I am capable, and trying to find like that I'm worth it, or that you are worth it in this case?
I think it's both, because sometimes what I see in my area of my friends and people I know with disability, they find it really hard to get themselves on track, or they begin with studying and then they quit because they think they are not good enough.
Do you have any goals for the future to, for example, educate persons more about albinism or your work field?
Yeah, I really want to get my like higher education, HBO, and also for like educational purposes for people with albinism. I really want to be more involved with the revalidation process of the younger child, because I do think that they can do it a lot better here in the Netherlands, because I have experienced it myself and I was really bored all the time. They need to challenge them more and let them know they are capable of doing it.
That's strange, because they are actually, or they're supposed to be, the experts on persons who are visually impaired. So that's pretty strange, actually. When you are in a safe situation, learning what, for example, traffic is like, how can you improve yourself? And that's through, for example, education. And it's not by not doing something. It's not by not teaching them how to cross the road, because in my secondary school also did not learn how to, for example, cross a road, because they were too scared that I was gonna be hit by a car.
That's just the thing, they have to learn the everyone to cross the streets, and if you are not going to, you will not do it. You will always be scared to cross the street. Or like, for example, going to school with public transport. There are so many kids, childs, people, teenagers, students who are visually impaired and goes to school by taxi. Okay, I am going by taxi as well, but that's because the lack of public transport is here in my village. But I have ever, how old was I when I begin to travel with my transport? I think I was 10 or 12, 10, 12, I think something in between. That's really young. And if you teach them to be independent at a young age, they will learn anything quicker and they will be self-dependent a lot sooner.
So you think learning from a young age is better? Oh, I fully agree with this. So you are doing sports and you try to also be independent in your sports. Can you tell me more about how you are trying to be more independent in your own sport?
Yes, for example, before I did goalball, I was a dancer. I did hip hop dance, but I quit because I was too old for my age group. What I did when I was dancing, I cannot see the choreograph. So if we had to change rows or I was in the back, I always go to the fourth, to the most nearest row to my choreograph. I let the choreograph dance in front of me. And then I can follow the instructions of the choreograph. When I learned the choreograph enough, I can dance on my own. I can teach the other ones because I was a really quick learner in dancing. When I was competing at stage, I was the most front person of my on stage. So I had to do everything correctly because otherwise the people behind me would do something different.
So you did goalball. Do you practice goalball a lot?
From September, we are going to train a lot and we are going to compete in the competition with other areas in the Netherlands who play goalball.
So you are training on national level then?
Basically, yes. There are not a lot of sports clubs in the Netherlands who play goalball. So basically, yes, I am training on national level.
Wow. That's great. Do you have a goal to go to the Paralympics, maybe?
Maybe, yes, because when I was, I think half a year ago, we did a intro day for goalball in our area. There were some really high competitors from Utrecht, which is a really high goalball club who train a lot, who plays in World Cups, European Cups.
Wow.
And they saw me like doing a match and they were like, oh, you are really good, we are going to train you a bit while we are here at the intro day. And then they saw some really good improvement in me, so they are really thinking about letting me into their team, or if I have the chance to go to the Olympics or the Paralympics. Yeah, the Paralympics it is. I really would want to.
You have talked a little bit about your sports, but how does albinism affect your daily life?
Yeah, I really love the things I do, and I try to avoid thinking about my condition. Sometimes it is really, you really have to, like, you have to put your sunglasses on when you go outside if it's sunny weather. You have to walk with your cane if you go somewhere different or you have never been to a place and you have to find your way. The small things which affect daily life, you can look through it, but like the bigger things, like people of my age are now driving their car and they have their driver's license and they are like flexing with it, like, I have my driver's license now. And then I'm like, yeah, congrats. I'm not happy with it. I want to be that too. But like for the rest, it doesn't really affect my daily life because I'm trying to be as normal as possible.
Well, I think having a car is lots of expensive stuff. Yeah. What's going on, like car mechanics and putting the gasoline inside the car. It's
yeah, that's lots the other of side. Money. Like gas prices are really high, and also like a car is really the car is really expensive, and like only your driver's license is above 1,000 euros, so it's
yeah, it's crazy.
Like that's really expensive, so that's like the good way of it.
So when or how did you discover when you were different because of your albinism?
Like, I think I was in like primary school. I had to get a new table because otherwise I would get with my nose on the table and had bigger letter books, or I had like this magnifying system on my desk and it was really bulky and I felt so different. And I got bullied a lot as well at school when I was 6 to, I'm now 18, so 12 years, I think. I always get bullied and stuff. And yeah, that's make you feel different quite a lot. But
wow.
So you have been bullied 12 years.
Yes, and it still counts.
they are still bullying you?
Yes, well, since I when I graduated from high school, I was like, yes, I'm done for now and I'm going to a new school. They are still bullying me because of my disability. And yeah, it's wow. It's not really bullying, like punching me or something. It's not like that, but it's like assaulting, giving me names and stuff. I get used to it really quickly, but if you are beginning about something which is a lot more sensitive, I will just run away and cry like a baby.
I'm sorry to hear that. I think it's horrible. You should not be bullied. That's not okay. That's basically a form of discrimination.
Which aspect of albinism is the hardest to deal with?
I think my visually impairment. Having a disability in your eyes is like so hard. And because my vision went bad after some while, and I get tired really quickly. I had to learn Braille, and I had to learn to walk with a cane, and I think it's really different and really hard sometimes to deal with.
How good or bad is your eyesight?
9%.
And you learn Braille?
Yes. But I'm not really doing it much because I am really busy with school and internship and all the rest. So I don't really can hold doing like reading in Braille. But maybe after my studies, I will just do a quick refresh and then I will be good to go.
I was not allowed by my school. I see 8%. I was not allowed to by my school to learn Braille because my eyesight was too good.
It was too good. Oh my God.
Yeah.
When I was like, when I started at my new school, I had a supervisor who was a bit more experienced with Braille and learning Braille. And she said, well, maybe it is good for the long term that you can read Braille because, yeah, your vision got worse, you know?
Wait, that's not a symptom of albinism. Your vision most of the time stays the same. May I ask, do you have some other eye problems?
My vision got worse because I grew a lot quicker than when I was tired. It was like really worse, and yeah, I couldn't get rest of it. That's why I wear glasses.
Do you also have a guide dog?
No, I don't have a guide dog.
How, just a question about people responding to your albinism. How do you respond to the silly things they say?
I don't really get recognized as an albino because, yeah, I don't really look like an albino. People say always that I'm not an albino and I'm faking it, but that's not the case. But if I say I have albinism, I always say with it that I am doing a lot and I am doing everything just like a normal person with no albinism or no disability at all.
But do you feel yourself as an albino or as a person with albinism?
A person with albinism.
What do you think about people who are saying albino?
Like, I'm not harassed about people saying that, but I understand if other people do think it's a hard word to say or it's not a good word to say. I prefer to be like just called as Luna, as a normal person who has albinism. But yeah, it's like if you are a thing, it's just you are used because you have albinism. You feel as a thing and not as a person like any other person.
In some countries, people with albinism are discriminated against. What do you think we can do against this discrimination?
I think more education about it, and that people with albinism are not weird or are not causing any sickness or are not dangerous or not like affecting any cause. I think more education about it is key, and also make them feel that they are also loved and cared about, and they are worth to be in this humanity. And I think that is really important for like countries who are not really good with people with albinism.
Is there anything else you want to say to our listeners?
If you are not an albino or not, you are not a person with albinism, please know that albinos and persons with albinism or with any disability are just the same as you do, and to treat them like you would treat any other.
Thank you very much for your time, and thank you to our listeners for listening to this podcast. If you have any questions, don't hesitate and please ask the questions in the comment section down below, or send me a DM on Instagram. I love to hear what your thoughts are about persons with albinism and how to end racism and discrimination. Thank you again, and be nice to each other.